countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Now with our highest ever readership of 321,000 weekly readers.
And you know, as I drove along the M5, once I reached Longford and headed onwards towards Killala, I was struck by the blanket of derelict and vacant buildings along the main streets in the towns and villages I passed through. Now, interestingly, vacant and derelict buildings are of such concern in the north and northern and western regional assembly region that assembly has produced a report on the issue in the counties that they serve: Galway, Mayo, Donegal, Cavan, Monaghan, Roscommon, Leitrim and Sligo. It's called the Regional Vacancy and Dereliction Analysis, and economist John Daly, the author of the report for the Northern and Western Regional Assembly, joins me now. John, good morning to you.
Morning, Damien. Thanks for having me on the show.
You're more than welcome. And because I knew I was going to have you on the show this morning, I was purposely looking out the window, driving through the various towns and villages, and it was astonishing to observe the ghost town, almost apoplectic sort of look of neglect, where main street buildings are closed, some bordered with this greyish kind of film caked onto them from the splash of the passing cars and trucks. So, like, very grey. And once you start looking, you notice them and you really begin to ask yourself, what is going on? What is it telling us? Is this getting worse, John? Because we're driving on motorways now, and unless you're local, you probably don't know this is happening.
Yeah, so Damien, our analysis found that around 45,000 residential and commercial properties were either vacant or derelict in the northwest of Ireland. And that's enormous, given the fact that this figure is higher than Ireland's annual housing requirements of around 33,000 homes per annum. That's per Housing for All's estimates. But notably, Damien, our analysis found that just under 40% of all vacant and derelict properties in Ireland are located in the northwest of Ireland, despite the region only accounting for around 18% of Ireland's population. But as you were saying, Damien, what's notably striking, though, is how high residential vacancy is within, say, small towns and villages across the northwest. And I'll just give you some examples here. Just over 70% of the towns and villages in the northwest recorded a residential vacancy rate above the national average of 4.9%. Notably, all of the defined towns and villages based in Leitrim had an above average vacancy rate, while nearly three quarters of the towns and villages in Donegal, in Mayo and Roscommon were recording above average residential vacancy rates. So, and similar trends are also evident in the commercial vacancy rates as well. So that, I suppose, David, that gives you a sense of just the sheer scale of vacancy and dereliction in the northwest. And these are kind of some of the results that we'll be presenting at the NUIG Rural Studies Centre seminar next week.
Yeah, so they're derelict and they're vacant and they're commercial and they're residential. So you wonder which happened first. Did the people leave and the businesses closed, or did the businesses close and the people then followed? What is the difference between derelict and vacant?
So in our analysis, Damien, the Northern Western Region Assembly, we would have used geodirectory data, and that's collected through on-post during our postal runs. So under their definitions, a vacant property is a property that's either empty and ready to be lived in right now. It's either empty but, say, require a smaller amount of repair work to make it livable again. And while geodirectory's definition of vacant properties would exclude holiday homes and homes that would, say, be temporarily vacant. So if, say, someone went on holidays and the property was empty, well, it changed ownership. So, and because essentially the information is collected through a combination of the postal runs, local knowledge and the air codes as well. In contrast, in, say, Damien, a derelict property then is obviously also empty, but it's considered in such a state of disrepair that would require a significant amount of renovations and construction works in order to make it livable again. So, for example, you know, you're talking about here broken windows, there'd be no roof, the doors would be falling off. So ultimately, I suppose, the degree of repair would involved in the property generally explains the difference between what is considered a vacant property and then what is considered, in, say, a derelict property.
Yeah, like you mentioned there, that the homeless situation around the country, we're all well aware of homeless families who dearly would love a place to call home themselves. Like, are these properties the answer? Is it as simple as that?
Well, I suppose that these properties obviously will require some amount of maintenance work. Some will require minor maintenance works, whereas some will obviously require significant structure works, and some, quite frankly, just simply need to be bulldozed in the sense of that it simply just needs to be put to the ground and in the sense of and restarted again. But although it's not the overall answer, I think ultimately we do need 33,000 homes per annum up to 2030. We need new housing stock, and while these properties are a potential solution to a certain degree in kind of addressing that housing shortage and addressing the number of people, say, for example, on social housing waiting lists and the number of people who are homeless, it's not going to solve all of our problems, but essentially it'll be an element to it anyway, in the sense of that we do need new housing stock. But this stock that we already have at the minute, there is a potential there already to utilise the stock as a means of not only addressing housing supply, but also regenerating towns, small towns, villages and city centres, and even utilising this stock as a means of, say, accruing environmental benefits.
Yeah, it looks terrible in a lot of situations just to see those towns so dead, that people have gone away and it looks like maybe you're not coming back. I just wonder, do you need big employers in these areas, or are the employers saying, well, sure, what's the point of me starting a business in a rural area where there's no population? Is it a classic chicken and egg situation where you are?
Well, I suppose ultimately, Damien, like in the northwest of Ireland, we've experienced economic decline in recent years, and that's evident from the fact that, say, the European Commission has downgraded the region from a more developed region, which is essentially the highest status you can have in terms of EU region, in terms of economic performance. They've downgraded us from a more developed region to a transition region. And I suppose that kind of economic inactivity, that economic decline, has its consequences. And you see there, as you said, you know, commercial businesses, they obviously go out of business, and then they kind of it's a spiral effect in terms of confidence, as in commercial property owners will be looking at the area and say, well, should I invest in this area? Is there potential for in the future? But I think with kind of factors such as, say, remote working, it's a huge opportunity in order to not only accrue environmental benefits, but to support balanced regional development as well. We know that on the research undertaken by the regional assemblies about a year and a half ago, we would have identified a large number of private sector workers that are capable of operating remotely, and also the number of co-working hubs that are available across the northwest and the west, to kind of showcase the potential of remote working as a means of revitalising these areas. And what we'd be hoping, Damien, is that these kind of remote working hubs, when they hopefully be developed at a higher rate of scale, they'd be placed in the middle of town centres. Because if we can have people, say, for example, living closer to town centre, working in the town centre, it reduces their overall reliance on private car journeys. Mm. It revitalises the area in the sense of the town centre becomes the hub of activity, both in terms of economic activity, but also in terms of social and cultural activity. So overall, I think there is a need to obviously address the economic decline as a means of addressing vacancy, because the two are interlinked, essentially.
Well, listen, don't give too much away, because if people want to hear more, they can join you next Wednesday at 3 p.m. because NUI Galway is hosting a series of seminars called Rural Voices, where people like yourself can share your research and insights. And if people are interested in attending online, they can register at NUIGalway.ie, and John, you'll be part of that. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll chat to you again in the future. John Daly there, economist with the Northern and Western Regional Assembly.